This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
To the 1912 Exiles podcast, the Newport County podcast made by the fans for the fans. I'm Ed. It's Thursday night. I'm sat in the Murringer, which can only mean emergency pod record, fresh out of tonight's open meeting for supporters. Yeah, I've come here to try and pick some bones out of it with Dan Grace. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Ed.
Dan was on after the last meeting, chatting with Jamie. It was the first time we've met, so we're going to try and make sense of what was said in the meeting. For those of you who weren't there, the slides, we'll stick a link in the show notes to where you can see the slides from the meeting. Maybe the best thing to do is start off, I'm going to kind of read through the notes that I was hastily scribbling down, and then I'll come to you, Dan, and ask about what you think the key points and the key takeaways were. But firstly, all the discussions about potential new owners or potential investors, it was all in very sort of general terms. No names were mentioned, no details were gone into particularly, but we were given some reassurance, again, in general terms, about the sort of current financial position. The club is running things as tight as it can, given the structural deficit that exists, and that was where we started with Sean Johnson setting out that situation. And then he passed over to Colin Everett, who I think we said a few pods back has been kind of leading on the discussions with the potential investors, and yeah, he said that things are moving quite fast. There are two potential lead investors, and we'll speculate perhaps later as to who those might be. And they're very keen to make progress over the course of the next month. And it sounds as though the target is to have a sort of heads of terms agreement by the end of August with one investor or a combination of investors having done due diligence so that the trust members can have a vote on how they want to proceed. One thing that I thought was quite interesting that Colin said was that although we've been trust-owned since 2015, he made reference to the fact that we've been supporter-owned since the club's reformation in 1989, and I thought that was quite an interesting choice of language. It indicated to me that there is a intention by the trust board to try and make sure that Newport County remains in the hands of someone who is a county supporter in some sense, and so that we retain that status of having supporters running the club. The board were very honest, though, that they feel the trust model isn't sustainable in the league, and they set out why they see Exeter and Wimbledon perhaps as exceptions to that, and said that, yeah, in light of that, moving to a hybrid model is kind of what they're looking to present trust members with an offer around, but that they wouldn't look to offload completely the trust's shareholding. The trust currently holds 79% of shares in the club, and although a new investor would presumably want to hold 51% of the equity in the club, the trust would seek to retain a minority stake and potentially try and get some of the other minority shareholders to transfer their ownership to the trust so that it can retain that stake. The other thing that was said that any potential investor would need to come in and pay off the debt and cover the structural deficit for the season. And if an investor can't do that, then it's going to be the trust members and the trust board who would have to seek to do that and come up with around £500,000 over the coming months. So that was the situation. And then in terms of where we're up to with conversations with investors, Colin Everett said, yeah, any investor will need to cover the debt and the structural deficit and would look to do that in return for sizable equity in the club, which I took to mean 51%. Two lead investors have been have already got to sort of advanced stages with their discussions. The trust board has suggested that they might want to at least have a dialogue with each other and ponder working together, and that may be something that we'll come to. Yes, as any new investor puts in more and more money from the 24-25 season onwards, they may look to issue more shares to themselves to reflect that investment, and in doing so that might dilute the trust's minority stake. So the trust needs to maintain its annual investment. That's really important if the trust's status as a kind of minority shareholder and a minority investor is to be maintained. And the final point that I scribbled down before they got to the Q&A was that of course anything needs to be ratified by trust members, and I thought it was interesting that Colin Everett said although they could theoretically do that by a simple majority vote, they are going to look to get 75% of voting trust members to support any changes, because I think it's really important that this has a big mandate. So it would be an extraordinary motion that was put to trust members rather than an ordinary one. So those were my scribbles. I don't know, Dan, I'll hand over to you. Which of those points or points I haven't scribbled down struck you as being particularly important?
I'm quite struck by the speed that things are moving. I thought Colin raised a really important point regarding being a trust member. Obviously, if people want to have a say in this vote, when a special general meeting's called, there's going to be about 2 weeks' notice, and if you're not a trust member before that, then at the end of the day, you won't get a vote in how the club's future will look going forwards. Oh, and also, which I thought would be a really important point, so Colin raised that this hasn't been decided yet, but there was questions around when the potential investment was put to the trust, whether the investor would come along and have the opportunity to kind of present themselves in front of all the trust members. And for me, I think that would be something that would be really, really important, because I'd love the opportunity to ask any potential investor. It's easy for them to write down prospectus how they see things going, but it's another different thing to sort of hear it from the horse's mouth kind of thing. So that would be really important for me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, I think it's important for the fans and the trust members as well to see the whites of the eyes of whoever's bidding for the club, because of course the trust board will have done it and they'll have done their due diligence and everything else. But it comes back to something I said earlier. You know, we may not be a trust owned and a trust run club for much longer, but I think fans would want to feel that we are still supporter owned and that, you know, we have people running the club who have our best interests at heart. And it's very difficult to do that if someone's just sent a prospectus or is joining over a Zoom call. I think you want to see that they're there and that they mean it. So yeah, I think that's a massive point and really important.
And I think that's really key as well, is and it kind of Colin highlighted that once any potential investment comes on board, that's not the end of the trust. The trust still has a really important role to play, and quite rightfully, any potential investor is going to look at the amount of investment that they make, and if we're still minority shareholders, the trust is going to still need to continue putting money in. So after that day, it does seem like they're very much going down the hybrid model route rather than taking away all, you know, trust involvement. The trust is still going to be going forwards, and it's going to be really important that we continue to fund the trust going forwards at the end of the day.
I think the other thing that was quite usefully touched upon, I mean, I don't find it particularly helpful to get too involved in talking about on pitch matters in relation to ownership, because I think it's important to like slightly disaggregate the two. But having said that, we do have probably the lowest playing budget in the entire football league. Reference was made to the fact that Coco has got to kind of work magic this season just to keep us up. And the point was made, and I think it is a fair one, that one of the reasons why the club, the trust, do want to move fairly swiftly with all of this is that if they can sort out the ownership stuff in September, October sort of time, then hopefully that means that by the time the January window rolls around, Graham Coughlan will have a bit of a fighting fund, should he need it, in order to invest in the club. Because actually, if we lose our Football League status, then suddenly we become a much less investable commodity for anyone. So we do need to have half an eye on that, even if, like I say, it isn't necessarily too helpful to conflate the issues of ownership and on-field stuff, because they are very different different things.
I did think it was interesting how they almost tried to kind of turn the fact how we don't have any assets, we don't have we don't own a stadium, we don't own a training ground, into a positive, and kind of say that like investors would have to be serious about wanting to grow Newport County, because at the end of the day there's nothing that they can't knock down our stadium and put houses on there, for example, because we don't have a stadium to knock down. So they, given that, it was a really fair point, I thought, and given that anybody who was coming into the club would be credible and would have the best interests of the club at heart.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing that really strikes me about that, and it was the one question that I asked, was about the extent to which potential investors have been asked to look to kind of work together and at least have a dialogue about potentially working together, is because anyone who comes in and puts money in certainly isn't expecting to make a quick buck, because there's nothing to make a quick buck out of. So if they want to come in at least partly out of kind of generosity to try and help a club that they feel an affinity for, you would imagine, to what extent are they willing to work together? Because if you've got 2, 3, 4 potential investors and they all work together, then that means you've got 2, 3, 4 times as much money to spend. And really, I guess it then comes down to the egos of those involved. How much do they want to be a football club chairman versus part of a kind of broader consortium? And, we can speculate about some of the names, we can have a bit of fun. I think probably the ones that everyone knows, David Buttress, I think, has been sniffing around. John Pratt's name has been in the frame for a while. I saw tonight that the former Swansea chairman, Hugh Jenkins, his name has been mentioned. All of those actually sound like quite good options. They're all quite successful in business. 2 out of the 3 have a link to Newport County. A different 2 out of the 3 have experience in sport. So they've all got good things to offer. You'd like to think that there would be a willingness to at least explore what a kind of joint bid would look like. I thought it was interesting that when he was asked about that, Colin indicated that the trust board would like them to have those conversations, but they will all have other people they're working with, consortia behind the scenes, and there may be more factors at play, which is entirely fair enough. But certainly chatting to a few people before the meeting, as fans, I think you look at it and think, God, wouldn't it be great if they could all work together and we could actually have a bit more money, a bit more investment, and a bit more in terms of like skill set?
Yeah, definitely. And I find the Hugh Jenkins one a really interesting one, because obviously he's got the experience of working with a sports trust down in Swansea. There's also the new person who's come in from who used to work for Swansea in the marketing and commercial department, which you wonder if there's a little bit of a link there. But to me, that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about having the opportunity to ask these people questions, because I'm not discrediting Hugh Jenkins as an investor at all. He could be brilliant for Newport County, but there are a lot of Swansea fans who were not happy with the way that he left Swansea, and it would be great to have the opportunity to ask him about that. So again, it just goes back to the point that I'd be really interested to hear from any potential investors on their kind of vision for Newport County. But I've come out of it feeling a lot more reassured, and I think, to be fair to the board, the way they're communicating with fans now is a lot better than it was, say, for example, 6 months ago. I don't think they had to have this meeting. They could have just kind of left it until a concrete proposal came through, but it does feel like they're trying to bring the fans along with the process all the way, which I think, for all the stick they've got, you've got to kind of commend them for.
Yeah, and I thought it was really significant tonight that a couple of times people made a point of saying thank you to the board for the time they're giving up, on a voluntary basis, to do their best in a very tight situation, and on both occasions they got a round of applause, and I think that's absolutely right that that is recognised. And as always, I wouldn't be doing my duty if I didn't say any Trust board members listening, or indeed any investors, if you want to have a chat on the pod, we would be delighted to host you. You can get in touch, slide into our DMs, as they say. And yeah, so I think that that was a point that was well made. The other thing that I scribbled down that I thought was really interesting was they did indicate that one of the things that they've talked to all the potential investors about is this need for investment in off-field staff, so a general manager or chief exec, you know, investment in the commercial side of things, you know, presumably the comms and stuff as well. And I think that's so important because it's something that I think anyone who's been just around the club has noticed that, you know, we haven't had anyone performing that sort of general manager role for a while. It's no disrespect to the people who've been doing the kind of marketing roles and the comms roles that, you know, they're often quite junior, you know, early stage in their career. They do very good jobs under trying circumstances for not very much money, as far as I'm concerned. And again, you know, they deserve our thanks as well. But actually investing in some of that infrastructure and personnel, I think, would be massive for us, because we do punch above our weight at the moment. But, you know, as any boxer tells you, eventually you do get knocked out if you keep trying to punch above your weight for too long. So I thought that was important that they'd recognise that as an area that, where there needs to be some investment. So yeah, I thought all of that was good. And yeah, just to reiterate the point that you made earlier, if they get to the point where they sign a sort of heads of terms agreement at the end of August, and they then give 2 weeks notice for a meeting where there will be a formal vote, what they said tonight is the people entitled to a vote will be the people who were Trust members the day before the details of the meeting are published. So effectively, you probably need to join the Trust by the end of this month at the absolute latest if you want to have a vote in that. So even if you're havering and sitting on the fence with it, I would sign up to that direct debit fairly swiftly if I was you, because you know, you'll want to have your say, and worst case scenario, you get to contribute a small amount of money towards the Trust going forward, which, as we've already said, you know, the Trust is going to need to continue its investments. So if you're not a member of the Trust, you really, really should be. Anything else you wanted to kind of add?
No, nothing from me. I think we've covered everything off there, but yeah.
Well, before we finish, I mean, we shouldn't forget that Newport County played one game of football this week and play another one on Saturday. I wasn't at the Charlton game because I was doing battle with customs checks at Bristol Airport. But you were there, Dan. So for those of us who couldn't make it, looking at the stats from that game, County had like 29% of possession and yet somehow came out winning 3-1. It looked like a proper sort of Jekyll and Hyde performance. What the hell happened?
Well, I've got to be honest, I'm not 100% sure on those possession stats, because, first of all, the thing that struck me was how front foot we were. So the general impression that I've got from Coughlin in the past has been we set up 3-5-2, we kind of tried to soak up a little bit of pressure, we'll kind of press where we can, but it's very much kind of defence first. Now, the team sheet came out about an hour before the game and I had no idea where anybody was going to play, but we set up in a 4-2-3-1. So, well, I thought it was a 4-2-3-1 to start with in the first half. We had Evans playing left back, which was interesting, within a flat four. But the thing that really struck me is how we tried to close down the Charlton defence. So when the Charlton defenders got the ball and they tried to pass it into midfield, Bennett, Morris, Wildig, Charlesley, Palmer Holden were absolutely relentless in trying to wing the ball back higher up the pitch. And in the first half, we kind of struggled a little bit with our final ball. And I did think we were really unlucky to go 1-0 down on the stroke of half-time. And you kind of think, playing a team in a higher division, they'll have half-time, they'll come out, they'll put a couple of goals on us. But when we were winning the ball back high up the pitch in the second half, we really started to add a bit of quality to our final ball. And the goal that that Wildig scored to start it off, it was won by winning the ball really high up the pitch. Just before we went 2-1 up, Coughlin made a change and he swapped Evans from left back to striker. I'm not sure there's many other players who would go from playing left back to striker in the Football League, but within about 30 seconds Bonswell came on and set Evans up and made it 2-1, and again that was from winning the ball high up the pitch, and the third came from exactly the same. So the thing I really took away from it was how sort of front foot we were, trying to win the ball back in dangerous areas. And for me, it'd be really, really, really interesting to see if we kind of continue with that approach going into Saturday, or whether we decide to kind of revert to what we were doing in the past and go to that 3-5-2 again.
Yeah, I will be at the Doncaster game on Saturday, and we'll doubtless try and do some sort of audio diary. The other bit of news that came out today was that Sam Bowen has gone to Welston for the season on loan. Presumably that kind of signals the end of his county career, unless he kind of tears up trees there, but he's out of contract at the end of the season. Was that a surprise to you, or just kind of, you know, we thought this moment would come sooner or later?
I think personally for Sam Bowen's development, I think he needs to go out and get games now. I don't think sitting on the bench for County for 46 games is really going to do him any good. So I think from his perspective, it's great. If he goes out and he performs well, then he might earn himself another contract here. There's obviously a really good footballer there. It's just I think he needs to find a place to kind of unlock that. It'd be interesting to see if that's freed up any wages to maybe try and bring someone else in. But I mean, you look to Tuesday and there's definitely some players who've actually staked their claim, I think, for maybe trying to get into that squad. It's interesting after Saturday how we look really thin, and now we've got a couple of selection dilemmas going into Saturday.
Bowen, like you, I think there's a bit of talent there, but if ever a player needed to just go and play some football and just re-establish himself, it's him. I'm sure he will end up eking out a living as a footballer. It probably isn't going to be at Newport County, I don't think now, but he just needs to get some games under his belt. So we will pick up on some of that, no doubt, on Saturday. I haven't quite worked out when the next pod will be, whether we'll do one after Saturday or whether we'll combine the Doncaster game at home with Crewe away. If you're going to Crewe away and you want to send us a diary, please get in touch, because I don't know anyone else who's going to Crewe on Tuesday night. And we've also got a few belated summer specials that we're going to drop in at some point. We've got a chat with the owners of Newport City, and we've also got a very, very exciting exclusive interview with a very, very special guest, but I'm not going to spoil the surprise. But listen, Dan, thank you very much for coming on tonight and giving us your thoughts on the open meeting. I'm sure we'll have you back on again soon.
Brilliant. Cheers, Ed.
And yeah, we will be back in your ears before too long. But yeah, as always, look after yourselves, look out for each other, and keep it county.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.